is a good place to come to, and I'm looking forward to hearing the word preached, and pray for our pastors that come this evening, for the using and anointing. Just pray that God would help us each, be willing to let him make a change in our lives.
Amen.
That's one thing I try to remember to pray. You know how this, you get stuff on your heart, and you say, man, I really need to pray about this, and then you're here for a while and you forget about it. But that's one of the things I try to remember to pray, is that God would let me be willing for him to make a change in my life. Because we're not, I mean, we're not being changed when I get closer to him, right? Because that phrase, you know, necessitates a change. When you are closer to something than you were before, well, you are different than what you were before. So that's what we want to be, is closer to him and walk in his ways and be the life that he would desire for us to be. So that's my prayer this evening, that the Lord would help us to do that. I wonder who's got a request of prayer, but I'll lift a hand. Amen. The Lord knows all these requests. Just be much in prayer for these. I continue to remember Mom, if you would. Best I can understand from Dad in a text yesterday, I think she did not get to come off her oxygen on Monday like she hoped she'd be able to. It has turned down to the lowest level, which is a great comfort to her, because she was saying, don't drive her out near so bad, you know, with it turned down like that. So I think what I understood from the text is that maybe they're going to check her again in 2 weeks. I think what she has to do is walk a certain distance, and then they put her on the spirometer and see what her blood oxygen level is, and it has to be a certain point or whatever. So, but otherwise, man, she sounded really good Sunday evening. She was pretty much herself, so I really appreciate the Lord helping her the way that he has. So just continue to remember her, if you would. Remember Miss Ashley, she had just a little procedure at the doctor's office this week, and she's a little bit sore, so she's not with us this evening, so pray for her. And I wonder who else has got a request this evening.
I'm praying for Barbara
to
come home Monday.
Oh, amen.
And I mean, I just think that's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen.
Alivia, when they
took
her in the house and she was pushing her walker, and she said, wow, I'm home.
Amen.
And then she just leaned over her walker and started crying, what made me cry too.
Yeah.
But the time that she came to me, I'm just seeing a miracle right in front of my eyes.
Amen.
Even the doctors did not think she would make it.
Amen.
God, the time to do that, I'm just waiting on how to go with
it. Yeah.
Amen. But that shows you how powerful God is and how
powerful
he is. Amen. That's just a miracle.
Amen.
My boy Sam has congestive heart failure, so we need him to go back Friday to his heart failure.
Amen. Amen. Remember this. Good to see Miss Terry back. Appreciate the Lord helping her.
We're thankful to be feeling better
about those. Yeah. Amen. That's what I asked her. Dale was feeling good enough to give her a hard time, and she said, yeah, but I think we both came quickly to the conclusion that he didn't have to be feeling much better for that shooting case.
Keep praying for my friends and praying for two of my girlfriend's friends as well.
Your friends, and I'm sorry, who?
And two of my girlfriend's friends as well.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Remember these.
Still remember Lee. If you went back to the doctor's day and they told him he still can't drive, if he does, he'll stop his stroke.
What are they looking for? Like for him to be able to drive again?
Or he can walk. He can't walk.
Oh, okay.
I
Yeah, we got to pass there almost exactly twice a year. What was the name of the preacher that was going to pass away?
Oh, you talking about Henry?
Yeah.
Was it Henry?
Was it Henry? Okay. Listen, I was thinking about them earlier. Let's continue to remember that church that God provided them a pastor. It was a terrible little church. It wasn't too long ago. I lost the pastor too, wasn't it? Was it, I don't know what happened. Chopsburg?
He didn't pass away. He just left the church.
Oh, okay. Okay, so remember this one. It was one over towards the mountains.
Oh, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Was it a new camp?
But yeah, anyway, just these churches that are without pastors, just you know, remember them in that situation. That's always a really critical place for a church to be. That's a lot of times when the devil wants to try to get something stirred up, wants to try to get people run off, get feelings hurt, you know, different things like that. So just pray that God would put a hedge about those folks, and that he would have his will done there. He would send them the man that is appropriate for the time. And if that happens, we know that God will work in that situation.
There's a little baby in our life that we've requested some prayers for in the past. Her name's Huntley. She's really had her ups and downs here lately. Just requesting prayer for her. She's diagnosed with something that they started diagnosing Lucy with right now. And the neurologist doesn't want to operate on it, so it's causing a lot of brain pressure. And it could lead to a lot of brain damage. So her family's trying to find another neurologist that might operate on it, put some tubes in, get the fluid drained. So really humbling to watch somebody else's child go through what you thought yours would have to, and just remind you how much of a blessing. Have a little baby back here hollering during the service.
Amen.
Do so much, and already had so much done for her.
Amen.
I just thank him for that.
Amen. Amen. Remember baby home.
This is a special request, and I have some machine clients already for the whole week, so thank you.
Thank you. Remember this.
He's mentioning, when she mentioned the shelter, Meyer Moore, some of y'all have known, he's a young man. He's a I guess he's not coming down. Is he not coming down lower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's not coming down. He lives with his grandpa, and his grandpa passed away a few years ago. Or I guess it's been almost 2 years ago. And, or it's been over a year, I don't know. But anyways, he's a little by himself and stuff. And, he's a good boy. And I just pray for him. I was thinking about it the other day. Noah mentioned him. Just pray for him. I know he goes to a lot. He's just real young. That's all he's ever had is his grandpa, and now he's on his own. So just pray for him.
Amen. Amen. Remember this.
Thank you. praying about our youth meeting coming up. I believe that, you know, Lord's really blessed the last couple we've done, and, you know, it's just been a blessing to me. I've really experienced revival from that, and I believe that a lot of folks has. You know, all of y'all probably have, and it's been a blessing to you, to your family, to your children, and I'm praying that's what it'll be again this year. Just because we've had that in the past, don't mean we guarantee that. You know, we don't schedule God to come. We can make the schedule, we can schedule the meeting, but we need to be praying about it. We need to take praying about it very serious. And just ask God to move, you know. You know, Jesus said that the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. There is, you know, it's like a wind blowing where it listeth. He said, you don't know where it comes and where it goes. He said, so is the Spirit of God. You know, it's like the wind. And I've thought a lot about that over the years, and I've realized this, that there has been times that I have been trying my bestest and just can't get that Holy Ghost fire, you know. I'm still being consistent. I'm still doing what I'm supposed to do. But I don't have that fire. And then sometimes I do have it. Whenever I'm really trying, I'm praying, doing all the things. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes I am backslid, so to speak. Not in a treacherous way. That would cause people to, you know, just ruin my testimony to those people. But in my own mind, you know, things that only I know about, they'll stay that way, same as you. In that sense, there's times I feel as if I really let God down. And so if I don't have that Holy Ghost fire, I know why. But then sometimes I'm like that, and I get it anyway. You know what I mean? You know? So it is. It's like the wind, man. You don't know when it's coming and when it's going. God gives it when He wants to. You know what I mean? And I wish there was a formula I could figure out to just get it and have it. You know, and I know how it comes, but nobody has ever done that. Nobody has ever figured that out. And I don't reckon we ever will. But guess what? I know one day we'll have that more forevermore.
Amen.
What a blessing that'll be. But in any case, I know this, that praying now, that at that time, when that time comes, that God will move. I know it sure helps. I know God honors in prayers, and He'll answer the prayers. God answers prayers. When we pray for things that's in God's will, that we know is in God's will, we know that He's willing to answer those prayers. Amen. I believe it's in God's will to move, to bless His people, to save souls, to revive His people. So let's be serious about praying about that. All right. Does anybody got a song we'll sing before we get started tonight?
Hey, Stoney, we about had to cancel the show Saturday. But I got in touch with Biden. He is going to be able to make it.
All right.
We was going to have to postpone for a week. But he wanted to make sure that he's going to be here.
Okay.
You coming, maybe?
He said that about had to cancel the show because he's worried that President Biden wasn't going to be able to make it. But he said that he's going to be here as long as you're going to make it.
You going to be here? Okay, well, he said he made arrangements to fly over in the whatever he was
in. And he got a job as a talent director. Biden got a job as a talent director.
Yeah, okay. But he's going to be here.
Good deal.
He'll probably be late, but he'll be here.
Don't y'all wish that you was just old enough to understand what we think so funny? Do you know what we think so funny? You know what? Sometimes y'all think stuff's funny. We don't know why y'all are laughing either.
Oh, Good stuff. Good. See, sometimes we don't know why they got to take it. I think if I was in my fault, I had to take a boot off to get something out of my sock. You ever have to do that? I probably don't know why, but they thought that was hilarious, I think. But in any case, if you have any Bibles, let's turn the book of James. James in chapter number 2. We're in here last Wednesday night, and we were talking about preaching on works. And I just sort of done a little bit of an introduction, and I talked about how that, you know, we went through several services talking about, you know, that we are saved apart from any works, right?
Yeah.
That we are saved because of what Christ did. But nevertheless, you know, I mentioned this, and this is going to be a recurring theme for the next, I don't know, message or two, however long we stay here, that works are necessary to the Christian life. Not in the sense to make us Christians, but in the sense to grow the kingdom of God. God has called us to do works in His name, and works are not something that attributes to salvation, and it doesn't contribute to salvation. But what it does is it comes from salvation. If we are saved, then works are something that is going to be evidence in our life. Not to say that we would always be just trying to do everything, but I'm going to get to preaching if I ain't here. I'm just going to read. Listen. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it, Lord, that you'd just move in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, this evening. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd preach me, Lord, as though you've never before. God, I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. God, it be you here tonight, God, that just brings the message. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd settle it on our hearts, Lord, and help us and grow us, Lord, together. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we beg. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, I don't want anyone getting confused. I preached on this for, you know, 4 or 5 messages there in the last month. And so I just want to reiterate this one point, that justification is by faith. Amen. Even here in this text, it says that justified by faith works. We talked about this last week, but just so nobody gets confused, because there's two things, there's two different ways a mind wants to go. One of them is the way of fear, another is the way of pride. The way of fear is this, that we fear that if we're not doing enough, then somehow we're missing it with God. Okay, that is the way of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. To understand and to know and to trust that He is the rock of our salvation. He is the anchor by which we are tethered into heaven tonight. It is not because of anything that I've done, nor anything that you've done, but it is because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Praise be to God. You know why? Because I couldn't do it, and you couldn't do it. I was not worthy. You've not been worthy. There's never been a man or woman that was worthy. Even Adam, the first man ever created, the only thing he ever done wrong was he listened to his wife. That's what the Bible says. Because thou shalt hearken to the voice of thy wife. That's why he punished him. But in any case, even him, it was not enough. There had to be a sacrifice that was made. And so God clothed them, it says, with animal skins. He gave them a righteous covering. Praise be to God.
Amen.
And so in that same sense, we want to look at this tonight and understand it through that lens. However, in the Christian life, if we are saved and we've been saved, then we are to have some works in our life. Then we ought to be doing things for God.
Yep.
Whenever we get saved, one of the first things that happens is immediately upon the time that you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in.
Yes.
It's not like it was the day of Pentecost, whenever he waited and sent it all at one time. But we receive it as soon as we make that profession.
Amen.
Yep. As soon as you make that profession of faith, you receive the Holy Ghost of God. It comes inside of you and dwells you. And what is the feeling whenever you get saved? It's not a feeling of condemnation. That's before you get saved.
Yeah.
The feeling of condemnation, the feeling of conviction, all those things come forth. Whenever you are saved, you have a feeling of peace.
Yeah.
You have a feeling of justification. You're not worried about finding the worth. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's entered in and gave you that comfort. But then immediately what happens is our minds begin to go back to those fleshly things, and we begin to weigh the works as something to be weighed in the balance as far as our justification is concerned. Now, whenever the Bible says that we're justified also by works, understand this, it's not talking about in the eyes of God, but it is talking about in the eyes of other people.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we understand that when we talk about justification, when it's talking about works, being justified by works, it's talking about in the eyes of other people, that they see that. Because this is the thing, is that God, in his goodness, has allowed us, we talked about this last week, allowed us to be a part of what he's doing.
Yep.
I made the illustration to talk about how when we were children, we wanted to do things that daddy done, right? And now you remember the illustration I talked about how that, you know, we wanted to learn how to mow the grass, we wanted to learn how to use the axe and do all these things that dad done or mom done, and we wanted to be a part of that. And as we grow older, you know, those things are just mundane to us, you know. They're not as adventurous as us. We're not as excited about getting to do the things mom and dad done. I remember the first time I ever asked Cambry to, I give her a chore, a daily chore, make sure I got bottles of water in the refrigerator. You know, it seems like a simple thing, but to me that's important. If you've been around my household, if you've been around me long at all, you know that I like to have water.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't know if I got diabetes, I'm going to have diabetes, I don't know. I think it must be a genetic thing. I have some relatives on my mom's side, my great-grandmother and some great-uncles that has the same way, they drink water 24/7. And as I've got older, that's what I've got, I think about that. But in any case, I asked her to put some water in the fridge every day, and she was so excited to do that. You know, and you know, if I asked her to do anything, ever since she's been big enough, you know, Solomon and Parker when he was smaller, and you young ones, whenever they first get big enough to be able to do anything, you ask them, like, all right, yeah. You know, because you're giving them a little bit of responsibility, and they start to feel a little bit of adulthood. But it don't take long, and then you say, Cameron, will you put me some water in the fridge? I'm really comfortable right now. I'll get you right in up and put some water in the fridge. You know what I mean? And that's the way we do God. You know, first we're excited to do all these things, but then it just becomes laborious to us, you know. It becomes something that's just mundane that, you know, we get bored with it. You understand what I'm saying? But it shouldn't be that way. Now, whenever he says this, and I went through the first, some of these first 14, I went through some of these last Wednesday, but tonight, I want to start here in verse number 17. And he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then in verse 26, in comparison to that, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What he means by that is it's unprofitable. It is not moving. It is not active. And just as a dead body is not any profit to anyone. That's why he starts out and says, what does it profit? What is the benefit of having faith without works? And so if you say that you have faith alone, but there's nothing produced from that faith, then there's a good likely chance that you really don't have a true faith, a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we have a saving faith in Jesus Christ and trust him to the point to where that, you know, he's put his Holy Ghost inside of us, then it is going to inspire us to live by that trust. You understand what I'm saying? Let me put it to you this way. Why did he carry a gun? For safety? Why do you have a gun? Ben, in your house? It's for safety. Let me ask you this. Do you keep bullets in it? Yeah, you do. Have you shot it to make sure that it works properly?
Yeah,
you sure have. You know what that's called? That's called you putting trust into the fact that that thing's going to protect you. And so you've done some other things to make sure that that's going to work out. And you know what? From time to time, you probably clean it. And if you're wise and all, I hope you shoot it and you can aim with it and you don't end up shooting somebody you're not supposed to. But in any case, especially a handgun, because those things are not easy to shoot. I have to shoot at least once in a couple weeks just to stay where I can halfway hit anything. And so you have to keep practicing.
Yeah.
To have any kind, but I've got faith, I've got confidence that if somebody was to try to harm me and my family, then I'm going to be able to defend us. You understand what I'm saying? In the same sense, whenever God saved me and I trust him for my salvation, I trust that he is the truth, that he's the way, that he is the life, that no man is going to get to the Father except to be by Jesus Christ, then I realize then that because I believe that, I must go out and I must tell people this. I must go out and I must do the best that's within my ability to live a life under the power of God, that people would see that what I trust in is not anything else but the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I stand for the book. I don't stand for Stoney. I don't stand for being a Baptist. I don't stand for anything but Jesus and his word. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
He is the word. And what I mean by that is this, is that, you know, I'm not perfect by any means, but nevertheless, I have this drive in me. I have this conviction. Amen. We talked about that, the difference in guilt and conviction. And I have this conviction in me to want to do things that glorify God. I do. I remember one time I seen this guy, and it wasn't long. That's a long story. I ain't going to get into another part of that. I seen a guy one time at Aldi's. You know, my wife might remember this. And he asked me for some money. He said he'd go in there and get some groceries. I said, I'm not going to give you money. I said, because you seem like somebody. I said, I'm not trying to judge you. I said, but just to hear you talk, when you slur your words, and look at you the way you dress, I said, you seem like somebody that might be on drugs. I said, if you want something to eat, I'm glad to take you in here and get it. He said, all right. So I went in there and I bought him some groceries. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you something. I hadn't been a Christian long. I said, I'll tell you something. I said, I don't like people like you, vagrants and such. I said, I'll tell you something. I said, I got saved not long ago. And there's a time when if you'd come ask me for money, I'd have said something ugly to you. If you'd say anything back, I'd have beat you half to death up in the parking lot. This man's just looking at me like he don't know what to say. I said, I'll say something. You God saved me. I said, I don't know what I want to do, but I want to do this for, I'm not doing this because I want you to take something else. I want to do this because I want you to know that I wouldn't be doing it unless God put on my heart to do it. I said, so you owe all the thanks to him, because he kept telling me, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, don't thank me. I said, you better thank God. You remember that, honey? You remember that, man? But in any case, and that's the way, you know, I don't have to go into that big of an explanation now. As I said, I was young and naive. I was just 20 couple years old. I didn't know any better. And I felt like I had to, you know, explain the whole scenario. But now I just tell myself, well, you know, the Lord's been good to me. And, you know, you can thank him. If it wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know what I mean? But in any sense, I have this drive in me since God saved me. And you know what that is to me? That's the greatest evidence I have that I'm saved. Whenever doubt comes in, whenever fear comes in, whenever Satan gets up next to me and begins to give those whispers and say, are you sure that you're going down the right road? You ever have that happen?
Yeah, I
have that happen. Guess what? The best Christians, Lord, they've had that happen. But you know what the evidence is? Is the fact that God is working. pushing me towards something greater than myself. And he's called me to a purpose to serve him. That's why the Bible says, hereby do we know that we know him. There's evidence. If we keep his commandments. Right?
Yeah.
Now, in Matthew 7, Jesus said that there be many people who are saying to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? We've prophesied, and we've cast out devils, and we've done all these things for you. And he's going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. Well, what's the difference? Like I said, one of them was working to get there. The other one was working because they got there.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? It'd be like this. Let me ask you this. You've had mom and daddy. Did you have to work to earn their love?
No.
No. Well, that's good. You had a good mom and daddy. I never had to work and do things right. As a matter of fact, I did most things wrong. But my mom and daddy still loved me.
Amen.
They tried their best. I'd venture to say that there's probably a time that my mom and daddy probably wondered if I'd ever. I'm sure there's probably a time that they probably figured I'd end up dead or in jail before I spent 5 years there. But you know what? God saved me.
Amen.
God done that.
Amen.
And when he done that, he put his spirit in me. He changed who I was. He fundamentally changed the way that I thought. You know what? I'm going to say this, this ain't for me. Listen, the greatest testimony you can have, you children, listen to me, I don't care. The greatest testimony you can have is a testimony like Daniel. Daniel was a sinner. You know why? Because the Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
But we don't read about it. You know why? Because whatever it wasn't nothing that anybody could point a finger at him and blame him for anything. Daniel lived a life that had a good testimony. He lived a life of faith. He was saved at a young age. He had faith in God at a young age. And he served God all his life, even as a young man, as a teenager. He was carried off into captivity. And he served God. And God gave him wisdom. And God gave him understanding. And God helped him the whole time that he was there. All the way up until he was old in his years. And God was still blessing him. That's the greatest testimony that you can have. But I want to say this. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the providence of God. I didn't get saved then. I believe that God's time is right. Today is the day of salvation. And I believe this. I'm glad that God put me through all that he put me through. Looking back now. Every time I hear that song, and it talks about it, says, that one song is, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I'm glad because I realize that what God has done is something that I couldn't have done. It's not, it wasn't in me. It never was in me. It's something that God done. Another one is whenever they sing that song and they talk about God's been good, and it says, I've had my share of hard times, but I wouldn't change them if I could. For still it all, God's been good.
Amen.
I think about that. My life. I think about how good God's been. Even when I was lost, God was good to me. Even when I was lost, God was directing my path and bringing me to where I needed to be. And I thank God for that today. I'm glad for that today. And like I said, I'm not glorying in the sinful way that I lived or nothing like that. I'm just saying that I thank God for what he done in my life. And there's no question right now tonight in my life that I know him. And it's because of what he's done in my life and what he's doing in my life that I have a desire to do more than just serve him. I've got a desire in my heart that I want to serve God. I'm not just talking about just preaching. That's what he called me for. Within the church, I'm talking about outside the church. I'm talking about witnessing with people and doing all that I can to glorify God. I want you to ask yourself tonight, do you have that desire in your heart to glorify God, to do more than just serve yourself? Do you have that desire in your life to glorify God? Because if you've been saved by grace and the Holy Spirit of sanctification has come into your heart and life, then you ought to have a desire to do more than serve yourself and have a desire to serve God. Now, that is, we talked about last week, we mentioned this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, how that is, saying that when it says there in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable, very reasonable. Yeah. For us, when he said, by the mercies of God, we consider all the mercies of God. It's very reasonable for us to want to present our bodies as a sacrifice to serve him. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When he saved you, the Holy Ghost in you, that's the renewing of the mind. Yeah. But whenever that we are not conformed to this world, but being transformed, that's our obedience to the Spirit of sanctification, the Holy Ghost. We have to be obedient to that. Now, in saying that, I want to say this, that often, Preacher Matthew said something earlier, and I forget the way you worded it, but this is where my mind went with it. I wrote this down, and I referenced Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We all want to be closer to God in presence, but very rarely do we want to be closer to him in likeness.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yeah.
And see, this is why we get so hung up with the difference between conviction and guilt and all these things. We want to be close to him in presence. Like I was talking about having that Holy Ghost fire. Like I was talking about feeling the presence. You know, that's what we do when we're small, when we're babies. But as we grow, we ought to be more like closer to him in likeness.
Yes.
That's what it's talking about when it says, do not be conformed to the world. That's talking about the image of the world, the likeness of the world. But to be transformed, to take on the likeness of Jesus Christ. To be a follower of him and to take on his likeness, to be closer to his image. Amen. We are the image bearers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Guess what? The world is not the image bearers of Jesus Christ. You say, well, man was made in God's image. Yeah, the figure of a man, God doesn't look like a dog. God doesn't look like a bear, right? But I'm saying that as far as character, I'm saying as far as attitude, I'm saying as far as truth, and everything that is good, he's called us to be his image bearers, right? So there's a time whenever these children, that they want to be close to daddy in presence. I tell you what, my youngins get out, they want to run and go, but I tell you what, somebody comes pulling up in a vehicle or something they don't know, and they're going to come running. And they want to be close to daddy in his presence. They want to be in the presence of daddy. You go to Walmart, you see somebody that's got green hair or something like that. My youngins will be coming, they'll be like under me like a bunch of little babies underneath a hen, mama hen. You know, they just gonna get right around them. Because they're worried about them. Because I've told them, I said, them people's freaks, you can't trust people like that. They don't even know what color they have their hair. But I want to say this. As they grow older, I guess in here, you know, you're not people's need more than that, them little ones are coming and getting around them whenever they get Parker's age. And they want to start being more like that.
Yeah.
That honors me, son. That blesses my heart.
Hey.
That does. You know, I tell you all the time, I tell all my ones, I say, you know, you got to be yourself, you know. God didn't call me to be me. My dad didn't. God didn't call me to be my dad. He didn't call me to be my grandpa. He called me to be me. But this time I want to be more like my dad.
Yeah.
I looked up to him. I still do. This time I looked up to my grandpa. I still do.
Yeah.
And I want to be like my grandpa, you know. But you know, I realize that not everything about my grandpa is perfect.
Right.
Not everything about my dad is perfect.
Right.
But I got a heavenly father. And everything about him is perfect.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I can always look up to him. Guess what? He's not just called me to be who he made me to be, but he's called me also to be conformed to his image. To be transformed. Not conformed, I'm sorry, that's the wrong terminology. Conformed is something that happens naturally. Transformed is something that happens supernaturally. He's given supernatural ability for me to be transformed, to have his likeness. So instead of just remaining in that childlike state, to want to be close to him, sure, because the world's full of uncertainty, right?
Yeah.
The world's full of trials. The world's full of scary things. And we run into things all the time. We say, oh, I just want to be closer to God. God, I want to feel your presence. I want your comfort. But we rarely think about, Lord, I want to be more like you.
Yeah.
Because the more we are like him, the less like us we are. And that's a thing that we don't like to yield. This flesh don't like to lay down its life that it might find it. It likes to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And in the process, it loses it.
Yeah.
This flesh don't like to be crucified.
Right.
This flesh don't like to bear a cross. This flesh likes to have its way, to keep every dime that it earns and to spend it on itself. This flesh likes to indulge in the things of the flesh. This flesh likes to do after its own lust and its own desires. This flesh likes to do things that it wants to do and not have any authority over this flesh. It rebels and despises authority and hates the fact that God is sovereign. But I want to say this, praise God for the Holy Spirit of God that sanctifies, that's caught me and brought me out of the ways when I was walking in. There was a way that seems right unto a man, and in there was destruction. I was headed down that path. I was on a broad road that heads to hell, and I thought that I could do enough good things. Even though I was living wicked as hell, I thought I could do enough good things and somehow I'd get into heaven anyway. And I thought, well, you know, one day I'll make up for it. And I had all kinds of crazy ideology and theology that didn't have no basis in nothing other than what I wanted to believe. But praise be to God that He put the light in my path. And He showed me I was on the wrong road. And He showed me the right road. And it went by the cross of Calvary. And I went that way. And I met Jesus there. And He put His Spirit in me. And ever since that day, hey, I've been doing all I can within my power to crucify and diminish this flesh.
Yes, sir.
That the power of Christ might shine through me. And that's having a blessed life. You know why the Christians, I'll tell you why the world is so just full of despair and agony and everything else. It's because it's the world, man. It's because they don't have Christ.
Yeah.
Why is the Christian? I mean, because in the Christian life it's full of that same stuff. For one reason, it's because that we're doing all we can to try to nurture the flesh rather than dying to the flesh, as God's Word tells us to do, and surrender to the Spirit of God. Another reason is because there's something that we have to remind ourselves about here. We are not a citizen of this world any longer. We're just homesick. It's natural for a Christian, a true Christian, to feel uncomfortable and out of place in this world.
Yeah.
So we have to be reminded of that. Now, he makes this statement. He says that in verse number 18, he says, if a man say thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It'd be like imagining this. You got a guard, I got a guard. And this is what I say. I say, my garden is going to be the best garden in the whole county. It's going to be the most beautiful garden in the whole county. You just wait and see. One day you'll see that my garden is the most beautiful garden in the whole county. Now, excuse me, I'm going to go binge watch my favorite TV show. Every day until March. You got a garden. You say, I believe my garden is going to be the most beautiful garden in the whole county. I believe it so much that I'm going to go out here and I'm going to hoe it and get the weeds out. Yep. I'm going to water it. And I'm going to plant and I'm going to keep on taking care. If one of them dies, you know what? I'm going to pull it up and I'm going to plant a new seed or I'm going to plant a new bulb or whatever it takes. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to treat it. And I'm going to find, if I got to, I'm going to take care of the fungus, the bugs, whatever it is. I'm going to take care of this garden. Now, at the end of that, whose garden is going to be the most beautiful garden?
Yeah.
It's going to be the one that's working. Just simply saying that you believe it is not enough. Sure, believing that Jesus Christ is who He said He is and surrendering your life to Him, that's enough to be saved. But if you've truly done that, will that not produce some things in your life that you now trust in?
Mm-hmm.
It will. It absolutely will. It's not just that it should. It will.
Amen.
See, a lot of you are hearing that it should produce that, and you're thinking, well, I'll do that. I'll get around to that one day. It will do that. It'll give you that desire. I hope, my prayers that everyone listening to me tonight that is of a knowledge of accountability has been saved. But if you have not, there is, listen, You're worried about being embarrassed about coming forward and asking God to save you. Don't be embarrassed of that, because one day you're going to stand in the judgment. And the Bible says that every head will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The Bible says in Psalm 1 that they'll not stand, the unrighteous shall not stand in the judgment. Why? It's because of the bow, because they're ashamed. In Isaiah 54, the Bible tells us that we will not be ashamed. Amen. Because we will be justified. I'm glad that I went through that little bit of embarrassment that I had to put this flesh through that day at Mount Calvary Baptist Church when I went toward that altar. I ain't never been embarrassed by it again, preacher.
Yeah.
I try to make it a point to really search my heart every time I get to sit and I hear preaching. If they give all a call, I'll go. I try to. I want y'all to know this. If you sit and go to the altar, it ain't for no other reason. I've hesitated before because I thought, well, people think I'm just going to go to the altar for, I don't know, I've thought all kinds of reasons. People might think, you know what, I don't care. You know why I'm going? It's because I've searched my heart. And I've said, well, and as a preacher, I'm always thinking of some. I don't know how y'all are so much better Christians than I am, but I can't get by. I can't get through a message without God convicting me about something.
Yeah, amen.
And then I just sit and I dwell on that, and I think right then, if it's 5 minutes into the message, I think if they give an altar call, I'm going.
Yeah.
And I might not hear the rest of everything they say, but whenever it's time, I'm going to go, and I'm going to leave it with God.
Yeah, amen.
And it helps me. It blesses my heart. And it's good for his flesh. It's good for his flesh just to put it down there. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. My wife tells me that I confess too much to y'all and the people in general. You know what? I say it's good for this flesh.
Yeah.
It does embarrass me to admit things. You might not think it does, but I wish I could just not do it. But I feel compelled to.
Yeah.
I feel compelled to. Why? Because it's not good for this flesh. And anything that's not good for this flesh, that hurts this flesh, I reckon it's helping the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's what I want to do. I want to nourish it. I want to feed it. And I want to grow from that point. Bible says this. It says that he will show his faith by his works. We can see somebody. I know plenty of people. You know people that says they're a Christian, but their testimony don't mean much. Right? But you've also known people that's a Christian, and their testimony means everything. Why is that? Is it because of what they say, or is it because of what they do? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. The Bible says this, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith brought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, or faith made complete? Where it says that he was brought with it, that means that it cooperated together. They worked together. And they made it perfect. That does not mean that faith was perfected in works. It means that it was made complete. It was given its wholeness, its fullness. Meaning that you can tell somebody all day, you know what? Jesus saves. I love Jesus. Jesus transformed my life. I'm not who I used to be. But when you're acting like just the rest of the world does, when you're acting just like a Catholic does, just like a Muslim does, when you act just like any of the rest of them, and there's no difference, and they're able to see no difference in your life, you're not loving them, you're not telling them about it, you're not, you know what I mean? It's not just, you can say, well, I got a sticker on my bumper. You know what I mean? That's not what it's about. I'm saying that you've got to be active in getting out there and telling people about Jesus. Well, preacher, I'm shy. He called you to be transformed. A supernatural thing to move you from where you were at into a position that you are now uncomfortable with. That is the purpose. It doesn't matter if you're shy. It doesn't matter if you're not good at talking to people. It doesn't matter if you lack words. You say, well, I don't know. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And it says that he is able and will give you that wisdom.
Amen.
But we are called to spread the good news, to be servants of Jesus Christ. That everything that we do is about growing the kingdom of heaven and advancing the cause of Christ. Exalting the cross.
he says this: likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's not as if it kills your faith, as if it's no moving. But if you have faith, if you trust God, it's not benefiting anybody. It's the same as a dead body. It's the same as a dead weight. It's not doing anything. It's not benefiting anybody if there are not works that are being produced from that faith. You say, well, I've got a saving faith. The Bible says that the devils believe also in him. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what we just read. Do you not think that the demons of hell believe that Jesus is who he said he was?
Yeah.
I guarantee they believe more than me and you ever did.
Yeah.
They don't doubt.
Yeah.
They never been a doubt in their mind. Do you not know that they said, they even know. You think it's in their mind that they think that they can somehow overcome him? Nope. You know how I know? The Bible says that whenever he met that maniac Gadara, they said, are you here to torture us before our time?
That's right.
Yeah.
They know. They know that their days was numbered. They know that their time was short. It's what the Bible says, that Satan knows his time is short. Mm-hmm. And so they understood, and they understand, and they know, and they are able to interpret the Word of God to see that they know that there's a time coming when they will be judged and they'll be cast into a lake of fire, and yet they're not saved. They're not saved. They can't repent. And so there's no good works that are being produced from any demons, only evil works. It comes from nothing but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God saved us. If you're saved, he put the Holy Spirit in you. And whenever he saves you, he will put the Holy Spirit of God in you. And guess what? You'll still mess up. You still won't be perfect. Absolutely, that's right. But you're going to have a desire to be somebody that you're not. And that is in the likeness of Jesus Christ. To be more like him, to serve him, and to advance the kingdom of God. I'd encourage you to do this. First of all, confess to God, Lord, if you're saved. If you're not saved, I'd invite you to see and ask God to save you. Be born again, have his spirit, that you may live a life that is different from the one you're in now. If you're not saved, ask God to save you today. If you're saved and you have the confidence, the comfort of the Holy Ghost to know, and if that desire is in you, you've searched your heart even tonight, and you said, man, I do, I got that desire, but I have been putting it off, and I have been nourishing the flesh. I've just been doing my own thing. I've been, you know, just going through the motions. Sure, I've been at church. I've, you know, checked all the boxes, and I've done what I'm supposed to, and I'm getting by, but I hadn't been really pushing outside of that. You know what happens if sheep don't go out and get other sheep to come in? You know, we might have some babies and stuff, but the replacement rate, I don't know if it can keep up with the rate at which people, you know, pass away. But the point is the church doesn't grow. Unless we go out and get them and bring them in. Listen, the harvest is ripe. Understand this, that God didn't call them saints of old for this time, this wicked time, and so many lost it. He called you and me. We got a wonderful responsibility, privilege, honor, an opportunity to go out and to share the gospel with us, to tell them about Jesus. Not just to tell them I'm a Christian, but to show them by loving them, loving our enemies, loving our neighbors, to show them that we are the children of God, that the most Christian thing you can do in your life, I'm going to give you two things, I'm done. The most Christian thing you can do in your life is to forgive somebody that don't deserve it. Amen. And to love somebody that don't deserve it. That's the most Christian thing you can do in your life. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm summarizing here. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's how we're recognized as the children of God. That's how we're recognized as the followers of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, I invite you to do this. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Everybody, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want you, if you're saved, if you're not saved, I invite you tonight, ask God to save you. If you're saved tonight, I invite you to come and say, Lord, I know I haven't been doing enough. But Lord, I want to. I need to rely on you. I need to rely on your strength and your power. Ask God to come in and help you to be the Christian that you want to be, that you desire to be, because he's put that spirit of desire in you to want to be that. Just thanking tonight for the honor and the privilege it is to be a part of what he's doing. You know one day that your labor's not going to be in vain. I need to pray myself tonight. I'm going to pray. Usually I do it here. I'm just going to get down here in front of everybody else. But as I pray tonight, as we pray here around the altar tonight, if you feel the need, I'd invite you to come and join us. I love y'all. Y'all were a blessing to be pastor with. I hope y'all know that. I don't understand. I ain't never understood why God's always been good to me. You know? Seems like there's so many
I know so many Christian people that are so much, you know, better Christians than I am or ever have been. Yet I have a good mom and daddy and a good family. I had a good church growing up. I got a lot of good friends. I have a wonderful wife. And then all my children thus far have been healthy and, you know, pretty good little youngins. I'll say I'm proud of them. And then God gives me a church like this. It's a family. Loves one another and welcomed us in and loved us and made us feel like that we've been here all along. And I just want to thank God. And just say I appreciate all y'all. And I love you. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Preacher Billy, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Direct each one of us, help us to do your will. We will thank